In the name of the one holy and living God, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Happy are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. I lived in the desert for many years, and even though in modern times we have camelbacks and water bottles and ways to have the water we need in the desert, it is still a very hot and dry place. And thirst is very real, and the threat of dehydration, which leads to death, is just around the corner. So water is important. And when you're in the desert, and it's often, at least the desert in Utah, is fairly flat, you can see for a long, long distance. And in the distance, sometimes you see a stand of trees or a long row of trees, and you know that it means there is water there. Because even in the desert, where it is so dry, where there is so little rain, and then on top of that, you can have a drought, so there is virtually no water and no hydration. Even there, the trees that are by water prosper, because they send their roots deep, deep down until they mingle with the underwater stream and their roots go to the bottom of where the water is and they are continually nourished. And to quote, to quote Professor Carolyn Sharp, for the hot and dry ancient Israel, hearing these words, in some places where their land is barely arable, the image of streams watering a leafy, fruit-bearing tree would have connoted delicious refreshment, vitality, and prosperity. Now, refreshment and vitality and prosperity are not just what we need for our bodies, but also for our souls. And the psalmist, and this is from our reading today, it's the first psalm. It sort of sets the tone for this incredible array of poetry and prose that we have. It sets what we are to do to be like those trees. They meditate on the law day and night. Now, I need to say a little about what this doesn't mean. When they say law, yes, they're referring to the Torah, and for us Christians, it would also refer to Jesus and the way he gave new interpretation, a new life to the law, and the way he lived and spoke and all that he did. But for us, law usually means something that is imposed by some authority telling us what we should do or shouldn't do, and if we get it wrong, we're in trouble. So if you go through a red light, you're going to be in trouble. And if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to be in trouble. And it goes from there. And that's all important. But God's law isn't meant to have that intention or effect. God's law is not about just telling us what we should or shouldn't do so that we're afraid of getting punished or hopeful we'll be in good graces. No. The laws that are given in the Torah and the instructions that Jesus gave us were given by a loving God and then God's Son, giving us instruction and guidance in how to live that we may have, in Jesus' words, abundant life, that we may live in community, in safety and joy, with vitality and refreshment and prosperity. And appropriately, on this day when we celebrate the women in our lives, mothers, stepmothers, grandmothers, aunts, any of the women in our lives who had nurtured and supported us. As you all know, if you actually are a parent or have worked with children, sometimes you have to guide and sometimes force the kids to do something they might not want to do, like go to bed at a decent hour, or not have, we were allowed 3 chocolate chip cookies, so not the 4th chocolate chip cookie, or having to do homework. Or there's so many things that we instruct others to do, and as we get older, we take responsibility, that are not for the sake of discipline or being strict or fear of breaking a rule, but are to make us healthy and joyous and happy. And those are why the God of Israel, the God who loves us, gave these rules and these laws. So when we hear the psalmist talk about meditating day and night, it doesn't mean you're studying for an exam to get it right. It's not about memorizing it. But it is, in a sense, in thinking of our last few weeks of what Jesus talked about, abiding. It's abiding, not just in the specifics of the law, but the spirit, about how we live in community, how we care for ourselves and other people, how we treat other people with compassion, how we work for justice, how we are kind, how we forgive. All of these are the God's nature, and when we live this way, we have abundance. John Holbert, who's a retired professor, says that to delight, to dwell, to swim, great water image, to swim in the Torah is to swim in a vast ocean of God's love and a vast ocean of God's commands, instructions for the people. And it doesn't mean literally day and night. There are some people, I hope to do this in retirement, who can just spend hours and hours and hours studying Scripture and its interpretation and praying and meditating. But what it means is that when we abide, when we are grounded, when we're rooted in God's law of love, then that is how we live, and we give fruit, and we give shade. The prophet Jeremiah echoes what the psalmist says, and he goes into a little more detail. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. And trust is about faith, and trust is about delight. That's my words, not Jeremiah. But Jeremiah goes on, they shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. And I think Jeremiah captures something really important here, that the tree that sends down its roots and is forever nurtured and healthy and always living, yes, that tree has a great life, and it gives life to others. Because when the heat comes, and even in this wonderful place where we have so much water, sometimes too much water, plants left out in the sun without sufficient moisture, the leaves can wither and eventually die. But when something is rooted, the leaves do not die. And when you're near a tree, and again, think about being in the hot desert, when you come to a tree whose leaves are green and fresh, they give shade. So we find shade. And I cannot say what it means to find shade in the middle of a hot, dusty day in the desert. It is so refreshing. And in the year of drought, it is not anxious and does not cease to bear fruit. Because when drought comes, and the metaphor is talking specifically about the drought of water in a desert, but when drought comes, and whatever it is we need that's life-giving, whether it's love or care or compassion or justice, when there is a drought, we're in trouble. But the tree that is deeply rooted, there's fruit that we can eat. So Jeremiah is instructing us about how it is not just our own joy and blessing. And happy is probably better translated as joy, because happy can seem superficial, but joy is a deep, deep experience that transcends the everyday happy, sad events of life. And so the tree that is rooted so deeply continues to be a blessing, not just to itself, but to others. And so we have here these very sensual and visceral and beautiful images of what it is for ourselves and for others to be so deeply rooted. And on this day, we celebrate and honor such a tree among us. Dorothy Green was ordained. Can you stand just in case? I think we have visitors today, in case anyone doesn't know you. Okay. Thank you. You can sit now. I'll have you stand again in a bit. It gets tiring to stand. 30 years ago this Tuesday, Dorothy was ordained a priest in this church. And for 30 years, she has served faithfully at this parish, sometimes also at some neighboring parishes and at nursing homes, and even up at a church, am I going to get this right, in Dennis, Massachusetts, West Dennis, where Dorothy goes for the summer. And I love this. Today, yesterday, flowers arrived from a UCC church there, United Church of Christ Church, that she serves. So you embody what we are to do, which is to be one body of Christ, not divided by denominations. And we celebrate this day with some very concrete and visible things. Dorothy is wearing the same chasuble and stole that she wore on her ordination. And this is one of the many things I admire about you. We're always supposed to wear the stoles inside the chasubles, but you asked for and received permission to wear the stole on the outside. And if you look at this at some point during the service or later, it's this 19th century stole from France. And it was given to Dorothy by lifelong friends to wear for her ordination. And sometimes, you know, we have the rules, but then sometimes we not so much bend them, we certainly don't break them, but we move beyond them, and so the stole is on the outside. Our last hymn today will be the Ode to Joy, which was played at Dorothy's ordination. And Dorothy, at some point, donated to the church and to the organ the trumpet stop, and so we will be hearing from the trumpet today as well. Dorothy's daughter Hillary is here. She is, actually all of her family is here. Her daughter Hillary, in the ordination process for the diaconate in Massachusetts, is taking part in the ceremony, our liturgy today. And she was the first girl acolyte at this church. And for those of you who were under, I don't know, maybe under 30, you don't remember those days, but there was a lot women couldn't do. And it's because of the leadership and the courage of people like Dorothy and the support of the men and women in this parish then and now that we're able to do this. And I, as a third-generation woman priest, and Alyssa, as a fifth-generation woman priest, owe you a debt of gratitude. Dorothy's a second-generation woman priest. You can talk to me later how I do the figuring. We have a slight shift. Instead of doing the Nicene Creed after the prayers of the people, Dorothy will renew her ordination vows, and we're intentionally not telling you what page it is in the book because I want you to watch and hear in real time and not just be reading along. We have, this is more of an announcement, but I want you to know, we have this incredible book, which Dorothy has seen, so I can tell you that a parishioner put together of pictures from Dorothy's ordination and from some pictures from before that. And that's in the back of the book now to sign. It will be at a festive reception to which I hope you will all join us, even if you need to leave soon, to go celebrate Mother's Day. When we have the gift, the blessing of a person in our midst who can make the transition from being a lay person to an ordained person, this is truly a miracle. You know, there's a place in the gospel where Jesus goes to his hometown, and at first they're happy to see him. Then they're not so happy, and they decide to throw him off a cliff. They didn't. But Jesus says, you know, a prophet's not accepted in his own town. But you have managed to be not just accepted, but welcomed and cherished and ministered to the people who are here. And I think that gives us an incredible example of what it means to be humble and gracious and in community. And all of us can learn from that. And Dorothy's ministry began years and years before, and she has been at this parish for 67 years. Is there anybody else who's been here longer than that? So it's just really quite amazing. And before, at the end of the 8 o'clock service, a parishioner came up to Dorothy and said that years ago, before she was ordained, she was working with the acolytes and crucifers, and just before a service, she offered his daughter the opportunity to carry the cross. You didn't remember, but he said it had changed her life. So thank you for reminding us that we never know when a small act of generosity or kindness can make a difference. We know too much about what happens when small acts of unkindness make a difference, but we need to remember we too can make a difference. And each of us has the invitation to be like those trees, by the water, deeply rooted, always thriving for ourselves and others. And although this isn't in Jeremiah or in the Psalm, what I also see here is this, and I've learned this from my biologist friends, that eventually a tree will grow a taproot. And a taproot goes deeper and deeper. It takes time. These things take time. It's not something you do right away. But the taproot goes down and finds some source, whether it's a spring or an aquifer, some source of water to keep it going. And it's not just how it's watered when the rain comes. And then I see in our spiritual journey, that is the stream of everlasting life, eternal life, the spirit, whatever you want to call it, but that is what gives us nurture. And when your taproot goes down, you are nurtured. But in those times when either our taproot hasn't made it there or our source has dried up, we look to one another. And so we are always in community with our brother and sister trees. I don't know if there are coincidences in life or not, but we celebrate this on Mother's Day, when we celebrate all the women in our lives, and we also celebrate it on a day that the diocese has named to be Episcopal Charity Sunday. And this is a day when parishes throughout the diocese collect funds, money, to support the work of Episcopal Charities. There are envelopes in your leaflets, and you can make a donation today or you can send it out, but I want to say a word about what Episcopal Charities does. And I will tell you, I read these statistics every year, and I'm still somewhat shocked. So we begin by looking at the need, that in our diocese, which is it's Staten Island, Manhattan, the Bronx, and then Westchester, Putnam, Rockland, Sullivan, Orange, Ulster, and Dutchess. Oh, I got it. Correct me if I lost anything. But in this, just to give you an idea, in this geographical area, there are 702,000 people who are hungry, who have what we now call food insecurity, which means they don't have enough to eat. And more than that, they can't count on having enough to eat. I mean, all of us run out of food on occasion, but if you know you can go to the grocery store, that's not the same as not knowing. And this is actually 12% of our population. 230,000, almost a quarter of a million of them are children. And most of them are women, children, seniors, and the disabled. The working poor constitute between a quarter and a half of this. There is this myth that if people can just get a job, they can meet all their needs, and that's not true. I remember the last year I was in Salt Lake City, the statistics, there was just this spike that the people coming to our food pantry, more and more, they were families with two parents, each working one or two jobs, and they still needed assistance. So this ministry is really, really important. They also, Episcopal Charities also has other programs for parenting and after school programs, prison work for people in prison, helping people who come out of prison. So I do know that this falls during our Easter appeal, where we are raising funds to work specifically with St. Peter's and their remarkable work with people for food and also after school programs and camp. But you know what? People are hungry, and let's feed them. And it's especially appropriate because this is a charity that Dorothy has supported over the years. And so whatever we collect from our parish this week and next, we send to the diocese in your honor. Yes. So some of you may have remembered, if you've been at an ordination or a consecration of a bishop or an installation, that there comes a time in the bishop or whoever happens to be speaking, sorry, I'm shuffling my papers here, when the person is asked to stand. And I ask you to stand, Dorothy. First, I read from the bishop a certificate of commendation granted to the Reverend Dorothy A. Green on the seventh Sunday after Easter, May 13th, 2018, as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of your ordination to the priesthood on May 15, 1988. For your faithful service to God and the Church, particularly at St. John's Church Largemont over the last 67 years as a lay and ordained person. Signed, the Right Reverend Andrew M. Albici, Bishop of New York, quoting Galatians, "Whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith." So on behalf of myself, those gathered here, 30 years of people at this and so many parishes, and those to come here in Massachusetts and places perhaps unknown to you, you, an oak of righteousness planted by a stream, honor us. Amen. That's okay. Continue with the prayers of the people.